Reflecting on the judgment of God, here's Dr. Michael Youssef.
In the day of judgment, there will be no hung jury. In the day of judgment, there are no loopholes in the law. Listen, no one anywhere on the face of the earth will escape the judgment of God.
Today on Leading the Way, Dr. Michael Youssef continues the series From Despair to Destiny, looking at the faith-building teaching of Paul in the book of Romans. Now, a little later, I'll bring you updates from our Help the Persecuted team about a life changed. Right now, though, here's Dr. Michael Youssef with today's teaching.
Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 2 as we continue in this series of messages from the epistle, Paul's epistle to the Romans. As we saw in the last message, Paul was saying that the judgment of God has already been revealed upon the wickedness and upon the evil in society. And Paul knew in his mind that there is a large segment in the population, large segment in society, who are going to say, "Preach it, Paul. You're right, Paul. We hate these evil things. We agree with you. Preach it on, brother." But they too did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying to them in this passage that they are in a worse position. They are in a more precarious position as far as the judgment of God than the out-and-out evil ones. Why? Because they saw themselves to be better. They saw themselves to be a cut above. They thought that just because they're not committing the big sins, therefore they are okay. They're not doing anything that all that bad. So they got smug in their self-righteousness. So Paul turns to them, knowing that this is going on in their mind when they read his epistles. And he says, verse 1 of chapter 2, "You have no excuse, O man, whoever you are, when you judge another." And goes on. Here the Apostle Paul speaking to both Jews and Greeks. Jews and Gentiles of all stripes. He's talking to both of them. In fact, verse 10 of chapter 2 of Romans makes that very clear. He is hitting both sides. He's saying the Jew and the Greek are equal in sin, and therefore they are equal in salvation, and they are equal in judgment. In seminary, they teach you that every sermon must have 3 points in a poem. I always give you the 3 points. I never give you a poem. I'm not big on poems. So here's the 3 points. First of all, verses 1 to 5, Paul is saying that God's judgment is inevitable. In verses 6 to 12, Paul is saying God's judgment is fair. In verses 13 to 16, Paul is saying God's judgment is impartial. God's judgment is inevitable. Listen. No one anywhere on the face of the earth will escape the judgment of God. No one. As a matter of fact, this is probably the most important passage. I know it's a little tough. It's a little hard. I want you to concentrate a little harder today. It's one of the most difficult theologically, but at the same time, it is the most important passage probably in the whole of Scripture. I want you to listen very carefully. Paul is saying, in my own words, that in the day of judgment, there will be no hung jury. That in the day of judgment, there are no loopholes in the law. That in the day of judgment, there are no technicalities in which you can get out or get away with. In the day of judgment, there are no statutes of limitations and the rest of it. What Paul is saying is this, that when we judge one another, we immediately have set the standards by which we're going to be judged. But you know what happens, human nature the way it is? We often tend to be harsh in judging others and really kind of soften ourselves. We are much harder in judging other people and then lenient on ourselves. We often gain satisfaction from condemning in others' lives what we tolerate in our lives. Paul is saying that this ploy will not provide us with an escape. No matter how much we try to justify it to ourselves, no matter how much we try to rationalize it to ourselves, we will not get away with it. On the contrary, by the very standards by which we judge other people, those are the standards we're going to be judged with. Today, we see even those who don't claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ going around moralizing and judging. And you see a politician attacking another politician, and a few years later we discover they've been doing the same thing. But that's the hypocrisy of wanting to be good without God. That is the hypocrisy of wanting to be good without salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, without understanding that He's the only one who can put our sins under His blood. It's the hypocrisy that is filling our country from coast to coast, and I say that with sorrow. And I want to tell you that self-righteous people make two very dangerous, and I mean serious, errors. Error number one, they underestimate the height of God's standard of righteousness. And God's standard of righteousness includes the inward, includes the secrets of my heart that nobody else knows. God's standard of righteousness includes the private as well as the public and the outward. The second error is this. They are underestimate the depth of our sin. What we don't realize is that every sin, whether it is in thought or whether it is in words or whether it is in deed, it is flashed on a big screen right there in the presence of God. Not a detail missed. That makes you feel good, right? I don't want to make you feel good. I want you to feel right. Amen? In verse 5 of Romans 2, Paul said, God's patience is supposed to lead us to repentance. But those who develop the hardening of the heart, and the Greek word there, actually from which the medical field gets the word, the hardening of the artery, is the same word. But those who have developed hardening of the heart and stiffness in the neck and rationalization of the lifestyle will not escape the judgment of God, no matter how you explain it away. And Paul is saying the worst of all sin is stubbornly and unrepentantly refuse the gracious salvation, the gracious righteousness of God, the gracious pardon for our sins from the hand of God. The worst type of sin of all is the presumption on God's goodness. It is the abuse of His mercy. It is the ignoring of His grace. God's judgment is inevitable. God's judgment is fair. Verses 6 to 11. You know, the theme of God's fairness and judgment is a repeated theme. You see it throughout the Old Testament. You see it throughout the New Testament. It's repeated again and again. It's one of the most important themes in the Scripture. And I'm sure probably some of you who have read ahead and looked at verse 6 of chapter 2 came unglued. Some of the rest of you will become unglued when I read it to you. Here's what Paul said in verse 6. For God will render to everyone according to his works. And you say, is Paul now teaching salvation by works? Not in your life. Absolutely not. Here's what the Word of God is saying. That the day of judgment is going to be a public occasion, where the public verdict will be announced publicly for everybody to hear. That is going to be a day of separation. It's going to be a day of sifting. It's going to be a day of sorting out the sheep from the goat. A day of sifting between the chaff and the wheat. And while those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ are going to escape the judgment of hell, listen to me very carefully, those who have committed their life to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and Lord of their life, will escape the judgment of hell, but they will not escape the accountability of how they used their lives, how they lived their lives, how they walked with God, how they were good or bad stewards with their lives. We will not escape that. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul goes into the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and he says, we must all, including himself, the great apostle, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God does not judge us on the basis of our religious profession. So might as well forget that. He's not going to judge us on the basis of our religious heritage. You could be a 10,000 generation Presbyterian or Methodist or Pentecostal or whatever it may be. Ain't going to help you one bit. God is not going to judge us in those ways. God is too fair for that. He is too fair to judge us this way. He will judge the believers on the basis of their effectiveness, on the basis of their faithfulness and their stewardship. Romans 14, 12 says that each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We may think that we are not accountable to anybody, but let me tell you, brother and sister, we are accountable to God, and one day we're going to give an account. God is not a prejudiced God. He's not going to judge us on the basis of our ethnic background. No. He's not going to judge us on the basis of our educational background. No way. He's not going to judge us on the basis of our church affiliation. You know, we judge each other all day long on these superficial things all the time. We do it all the time, subconsciously. We're judging each other. But that's not the way God works. God's judgment is a fair judgment. God's judgment is a righteous judgment. God will judge believers on the basis of the extent of their submission, from which we get the word submersion, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is He the Lord of everything in your life? That is the basis on which you believe are going to be judged, and I'm going to be judged. God is going to judge those who have heard the gospel and rejected it and said it's okay for you, but not for me. He's going to judge them on the basis of that rejection. God is going to judge those whom I never have heard the name of Jesus on the basis of God's natural revelation, both in creation and on the imprinted laws of God by virtue of being created in God's own image. God's judgment is a fair judgment. Verses 7 to 10, Paul tells us that there are only two classes of people, the saved and the unsaved, and both seek after two different things in life. The saved seeks after glory, which is the manifestation of God in their lives. They seek after honor, which is God's approval of their life. They seek after immortality, which is God's presence in their life. In verse 8, he said, the unsaved seek, they are self-seeking, and they are engrossed in self-centered goals in their life. Always thinking of me and what is good for me and what is beneficial for me. And Paul said the two classes have two distinct destinations. The self-seekers will end up in trouble and distress, and the godly will end up receiving honor and glory and peace. In verses 10 and 11, Paul tells us that God's judgment, like salvation, it is fair, but has a certain priorities to it. You say, what do you mean by priorities? You see, because God's judgment is fair, therefore it has to have sense of priority. It is based on knowledge. Do you remember in the first message I told you from Romans 1:14, when Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Here's a sense of priority. It is to the Jew first. And here in chapter 2, verse 10, Paul is saying God is fair, and he's going to judge in the same kind of priority that he made salvation known first to the Jew, second to the Gentile. The judgment is going to be in the same way. Here's what he's saying in verse 10 of chapter 2. The Jew is going to be judged first, then the Gentile. You say, how come? I can tell you, because salvation came first to the Jew. Jesus came to the lost house of Israel. They, from Abraham on, you remember the Bible said that Abraham looked forward to the city that is not built with hand, and because of his righteousness, because of his faith, that he was saved. And every Jew that followed Abraham is saved when he or she looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. It is declared in every book in the Old Testament. And therefore, when Jesus came, fulfilling all of these promises that they longed for, on the basis of that, they are saved. They knew about it. They should be anticipating it, waiting for it. Therefore, revelation came to them first, then second to the Gentiles. And that is why they're going to be judged first, and they're going to be judged strictly. Salvation was given second to the Gentiles, and therefore they'll be judged according to the knowledge that they have. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Listen to what John said. John said, Jesus came to his own. His own received him not. then what happened? His priority number one, the Jew first. What happened? But to all those who have received him, regardless of their ethnic background, all of those who have received him, he has given ekthos, he's given authority to be called the children of God. I don't know about you, I want to shout hallelujah. God's judgment is inevitable. God's judgment is fair. Paul telling us, thirdly, that God's judgment is impartial. It's an impartial judgment. A Jew will be judged first and with a stricter standard. Why? Because he has the law and the commandment. Look at verse 12. Jews have heard every Saturday in the synagogue the law of God read to them. The Gentiles didn't. You say, well, God, if he judges them both on the same basis, I mean, immediately you see it, even fallen men like ourselves, we can see it, that it's not fair. And Paul's saying, that's right. God is fair. He's impartial. But he's saying that both are equal in God's judgment. How come? They will be judged differently, but equally. Why? Because they both have the requirements of the law imprinted on their hearts the moment they were born of a woman. Because all born in the image of God, and the image of God does not mean that we look like God. It means that there's something of God. The imprinted laws of God came in our hearts when we were born. Differently, but equally. Verse 12 levels the playing fields between Jews and Gentiles. You cannot say one is not going to be judged or going to be judged differently. No, they both are leveled. They both are equally going to be judged, different but equal. In the same category in sin, same category in death. Therefore, they are in the same category in judgment. What does Paul mean here by saying that different but equally? It means that while everyone will be judged, no one will be judged by standards that they do not know. Let me repeat it. No one will be judged by standards that they do not know. God is so fair. I want you to hear me right, please. The unbelievers are going to perish because of their sin, not because of the law, which they did not know. Those who lived under the law are going to be judged by that law, but not the pagan who has never heard. Meaning that you will be judged with what you know. Now don't go sour on me and say, now I'm going to block my ears. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to have any more knowledge so I don't get judged. Ain't going to work. You already know. It's too late for that. You've heard it. God is going to be so even-handed in judgment. God is going to be so fair in judgment, so impartial in judgment, that I don't believe the single person will ever be able to say, I got a raw deal here. Because God's deal is always a fair deal. The way they sinned, the way will be judged. Because God's moral law, as Paul is saying, is inscribed in the hearts of every human being. It doesn't matter if he's a Buddhist or a Hindu or an animist or a Muslim or a Kalathumpian. It doesn't matter what background they are in. If they're a human being, they're born with God's laws imprinted upon our hearts. And God will judge them on the basis of that imprinted knowledge. In fact, he goes even further than that. He said that their conscience is going to stand as an impartial witness against them in the day of judgment. Their conscience will testify to the fact that they knew what they were doing was wrong, but they kept on doing it anyway. God's judgment will be so impartial. I want to tell you four things as I come to a conclusion here. Four things that for your own knowledge about God's judgment of those who have never heard. Number one, their knowledge through creation, which they have rejected, condemns them. Secondly, their conduct that is based on the knowledge of the eternal law of God implanted on their hearts condemns them. Thirdly, their conscience will be an objective witness in condemning them. And fourthly, their innate knowledge of right and wrong will condemn them. Let's not worry about those out there who've never heard. I want to get back to those who have heard the gospel. The gospel is preached on radio, it's preached on television, books, witnessing of others, spouses, friends, relatives, all means available. And it honestly breaks my heart to think that with all the opportunities we have for hearing the gospel, those who are hardening their hearts are going to receive such a severe condemnation when they don't respond to the grace of God. And I honestly believe with all my heart, according to what Paul is saying here, that those in the apostate church who are inverting the truth, as we saw in the last message, who are suppressing the truth, they're going to have the severest judgment of all. So what does it mean for the believer? Hear me right, because I'm getting ready to close. The believers, those who came be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood shed on Calvary, will escape the judgment of hell. And while we will escape the judgment of hell, from what the Apostle Paul is telling us here, we're not going to get away with our carnality. We're not going to get away with our self-centeredness. We're not going to get away with our self-deception. We're not going to get away with our rationalization, because we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be accountable and to be rewarded accordingly. And the Bible said, what is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. Where will you stand in the day of judgment? You've heard the gospel today, and you continue to harden your heart and reject and say, well, that's for my wife, this is for my husband, this is for somebody else. It is to you, everyone who heard it. God wants to give it to you. It's a free gift of God. Believer, you know that you're going to be held accountable for your stewardship, for the way you lived your life, for the way you used your time, for the way you used your talent, for the way you used your money. You're going to be held accountable. God is going to ask you, what have you done with the blessings that I've given you? And your reward will be accordingly.
Where will you stand on the day of judgment? This is Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we want to give you a glimpse into the ministry of Help the Persecuted. This is an outreach to those who are under imminent threat for persecution because of their stand for Christ. Here's our ministry coordinator to share a recent story with you.
The team at Help the Persecuted has seen many families impacted by ISIS. One recent situation was helping the family of a woman named Iman. She lost her husband and has been left with trying to support 9 of her family members. She cares for her father and mother, as well as 6 brothers and sisters, 2 of whom have special needs, like Down syndrome. She also has her own baby of several weeks old. The local church is helping a little with housing, and through Help the Persecuted, we are able to supply food baskets and additional housing support. This hurting family is thankful for how supporters of Help the Persecuted have made it possible for their needs to be taken care of. There are so many more needs, and we pray that God will continue to use Leading the Way and Help the Persecuted to minister to other hurting people.
When you support Leading the Way, you make it possible for our Help the Persecuted team to make a difference in the lives of people all around the world. Learn more when you call 866-626-4356. Give a generous one-time gift or become a monthly partner when you visit ltw.org. Once again, the number is 866-626-4356 and the web address ltw.org. Well, that's our broadcast for today. The invitation is always extended for you to join us next time right here when once again Dr. Michael Youssef opens God's Word. Here on Leading the Way.